This podcast brought to you by the full-time and part-time graduate business programs of Notre Dame's Mendoza College of Business. Powerful network, legendary brand. That's Notre Dame Business. Learn about our graduate programs in Chicago and South Bend at mendoza.nd.edu.
How do Americans approach saving for retirement? We'll talk with Joe Reddy of Wells Fargo Institutional Retirement and Trust.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. National Save for Retirement Week is just around the corner, so it's probably a good time to consider whether you're saving for retirement in the right way. Wells Fargo has released its 2016 Wells Fargo Retirement Study, surveying people aged 30 to 60 plus, both working and retired. And here to discuss the survey's results is Joe Reddy, head of Wells Fargo Institutional Retirement and Trust, which provides 401k and pension plans to companies and their employees. Joe, you say that in this survey, two major themes emerged. What were they?
Charlie, there's two big issues that we're focused on. One is that, and what I call it the power of two, which is investing and saving, doing it, investing appropriately and saving early are really key to retirement outcomes, and doing both is critically important.
Now, you say that people want help with investing. Why don't you go into that?
Yeah, 6 out of 10 in the survey said they need help with investing in their 401k. What's interesting there is we looked at the focus on avoiding a loss. 6 out of 10 said they were managing their 401k plan to avoid a loss versus maximizing the portfolio for growth. And that's real concerning. And when we looked at it through the different ages and different decades, there was really no discernible difference. 6 out of 10 were managing it to avoid a loss. And to illustrate the importance of investing appropriately, we looked at a $10,000 investment over a 40-year period, this past 40-year period. And we looked at the growth of that if you were invested 70% in equities, 30% in bonds. And that $10,000 over that 40-year period would have grown to $581,000. Interestingly enough, if you reverse that portfolio allocation and take $10,000 and invest it 70% in bonds and 30% in equities, that same nest egg would have grown to about $336,000. So it's almost a $250,000 difference in terms of outcome. And so this notion that, you know, managing my portfolio, especially when you're young and you have the power of time, sort of your biggest asset on your side, and maybe not diversifying relative to that risk tolerance and age, you can have really a detrimental impact on your outcome.
Well, I find it very curious that it doesn't vary much across ages that people would want to avoid loss. You mentioned, you know, younger people have the advantage of time, so you would think that 30-somethings would want to maximize the profit that they could make.
Exactly. But if you think about that age group, Charlie, you know, they've sort of been through the Great Depression of 08 and 09. And then most recently over the last year, we've had tremendous market volatility. Yeah. So if you think about that age group, you know, sort of saving and investing maybe for the first time in their lives, you know, they're seeing a pretty wild ride on their retirement plan balance. And I think it makes them nervous. And so for us, it's really important to kind of get back to illustrating that example. You know, their biggest asset is, you know, take advantage of the power of time, invest appropriately, it really will drive a better outcome.
And you say the second thing after, you know, people wanting help with their investing is consistent savers or those with access to a 401k are more likely to have considered some important factors in their retirement plan. In other words, those with skin in the game are really thinking about this.
Exactly. In fact, you know, the second biggest driver, in fact, I would actually argue it's probably the first biggest beyond investing appropriately, is your saving rate for retirement, right? You're going to have to, my mantra is you have to save your way to retirement, right? And so number one, sort of to your point, get in the game. And what we found is 7 out of 10 of what we call consistent savers, and those are people that are saving from very earlier in their career, first day on the job, have access to a 401k, and that has really driven a real difference in outcomes. And to give you an example of that, those that had access to a 401k saved a median balance of $87,000 versus those that didn't have access, only $10,000.
Wow.
It was interesting, Charlie, too, when we looked at that. We said, well, let's look at income cuts. And we looked at the same measure, those earning less than $75,000. And what we found is, you know, the amount saved was $30,000 median amount versus those that didn't have access only $1,000. And so this concept of consistent saver is a really big theme. The other thing I'd point out is, could, to your point, other factors to consider, what, sort of what's in a retirement plan. this notion of consistent savers, people really got engaged in the retirement plan at a higher level. So when it comes to thinking about things like when can I retire, what age, how much can I afford withdrawal rate, how should I think about Social Security and when should I take that, how should I invest during my drawdown period, sort of the in-retirement complexities, if you will. Those that were consistent savers, kind of back to those people that were engaged early and they're building their nest egg of a retirement plan, are much more engaged on those drivers on the retirement side in terms of thinking about those things at a much higher rate. In fact, most of those questions I went through, what age, what can I afford, Social Security, the consistent savers were engaged at a rate of 10% to 20% higher than those that weren't consistent savers. And those are important variables to the outcome.
And you say here that 48% of people, nearly half of people, at least 60, have considered the monthly amount they can afford to withdraw from their retirement savings.
Yeah, if you think about the key levers to retirement, Charlie, you know, that is somewhat concerning, right? Because one of the key variables in sort of not only what age can you afford to retire, but what your withdrawal rate is really going to determine, you know, how long your money is going to last in retirement. And so on one hand, grateful that almost half have thought about that important part of the equation. On the other hand, you know, we've got to get the other half really thinking about this important variable. Those levers, not only in terms of how much I can withdraw, but what age I can retire, are really important to the quality of life you can live in retirement and how long your money's going to last.
Joe, when people reach the point where they retire or change jobs, what do they do about as far as rethinking where to put their money, you know, thinking about where else to put their money besides a 401k?
Well, Charlie, we specifically asked American investors around, you know, what they would do with their money. And somewhat within the norm, although I would say a changing trend, is 6 out of 10 said they who are contributing to a 401k said they would move their money to an IRA, another 401k plan, or cash out. That cash out side really concerns me, right, because that has big impacts both in terms of taxes and your long-term viability. 12% said they were unsure what they would do. But the interesting point for me is almost a full 3 out of 10, 28%, said they would leave their money in the current plan. And that tends to be a growing trend because I think what happens is people see real value in these 401k plans. They have access to information, access to advice, access to institutionally priced investments. And so if you sort of think about the combination of those things, that really the alternative is, gee, leaving in the money in the plan is not a bad thing. And I also have an independent fiduciary that's always looking out for my best interest, right? So that combination of things, I think you'll see that trend change where that number will go higher, especially when you think about some of the new fiduciary rule implications.
Yeah.
They really want to highlight one of the benefits is you don't have to roll it over when you're leave your retirement plan at age 65, which has trended to become the norm. You can actually leave it in the plan. And I actually think services will evolve in these plans that will actually help them with some of those complexities we talked about earlier, right? What age can I retire? When do I take Social Security? How much can I afford? So that's something we want to keep our eye on because I think there's a growing trend of people that say, leave it in the plan. It's done me well during accumulation. You know, maybe during a decumulation, I'll get this just as good a benefit.
I'm sort of surprised the percentage figure is not higher than 28%.
Well, we've been monitoring this, Charlie, over time. And what I would say is that's somewhat the norm. But I think when we watch the fiduciary rule go into place this April and then final rule compliance in January of 2018, some of the new rule changes, I think you'll see that number change. That's what our thought is relative to, you know, leaving it in the plan is not a bad alternative.
I'm sort of intrigued by this other finding at really at the opposite end of the age spectrum. Nearly 6 in 10 workers agree that employers offering matching contributions should allow their employees to apply part or all of a company match to student loan debt. Student loan debt, we all know, is just ballooning.
It's another interesting observation to study, and we've seen these results in other studies that we have done. Obviously, a big part of people graduating from school today in their 20s and 30s is student loan debt. Yeah. And so they get faced with a choice, which is, well, gee, you know, I have this thing, retirement, which is 35, 40 years down the road, but I have the student debt that's coming immediately due. How do I balance both of those? And one of the interesting concepts that started to come up is, hey, let's not have those people at that age group make a decision between, you know, obviously I have to pay my student loan debt and, you know, maybe I can just put off longer because they lose the power of time.
Yeah.
And so there's this notion that that's starting to build, well, maybe we can have the person contribute their own money to the 401k plan, and maybe through an employer benefit type program, instead of the match going into the K plan, have it go to pay down their student loan debt. So you can kind of get the best of both worlds and enjoy some of the power of time that that person would have by joining the plan early. So it's a nice balance that people are starting to strike, and it's a great topic that needs to be talked about in terms of how to balance both.
Finally, Joe, what can savers do as far as optimizing the amount of money that they save for retirement?
Well, you know, Charlie, I go back to what I call the power of two when I opened up this conversation, which is, you know, the most important thing people can do is get in a retirement plan, 401k workplace plan, if one's available to you. If not, automatic IRA. Just get in the game of saving and do it early. You know, this sort of biggest asset that people have, their power of time, there's no replacement for getting started early. It will definitely have a major impact on your retirement outcome. Once you're in the game, think about that allocation question, you know, that help with investing that we talked about. There's lots of services available in these plans. And what we can say is that, you know, if you get in early and you appropriately invest for your age, time horizon to retirement, right, and allocate appropriately, as evidenced by that last example I gave, you can really optimize your outcome just by doing those two things. So do that, do it early, and do it often.
Joe Reddy, head of Wells Fargo Institutional Retirement and Trust, thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Charlie.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thank you for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the news desk in New York.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.